If you're able, stand with me in honor of the Word of God as I read Ephesians 3:14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Is this on? Is it on? Can you hear me? Is the speaker on? Yeah? We're good? Okay. Good. So, just for starters, nothing in me qualifies me to stand before you here except that Christ is in me and I am a bondservant of Christ. It is not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. So I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, God, and edifying to this body and be to the praise of your glorious grace. Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 3:14 through 21. What Keely just read is our scripture focus today. And to get there, we're going to go back, take a look at Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. Rifle and I are tag teaming. We went to the Gospel Coalition conference this last week, which was on the book of Ephesians. We can't cover it all, but we'll cover a smidge. So, first of all, what is the Gospel Coalition, TGC as it's known? It's a coalition of pastors created by Don Carson and Tim Keller. And their website definition is this. I'm going to read it exactly. A fellowship of evangelical churches in the Reformed tradition deeply committed to renewing our faith in the gospel of Christ and to reforming our ministry practices to conform fully to the scriptures. TGC is committed to invigorating churches with new hope and compelling joy based on the promises received by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's what's on Rifle's sweatshirt. So I wore the sweatshirt of love one another. But yeah, you've probably noticed out in the foyer, the five solas framed that's just right above our snack table there. And just huge thanks to Bobby and Teresa for their love of Christ and one another and their commitment to building a gospel-centered church. So, amen. Now, celebrating 20 years of the Gospel Coalition, the coalition has hosted incredible conferences every other year with a women's conference on the gap year. TGC also supports the local church with resources, teaching cohorts online. 10 years ago, there was an initiative in creating Coalición, a similar coalition for Spanish speakers. And then there's also smaller regional conferences. There's one this October in Albuquerque, and an incredible website with featured articles and commentaries and more. So this conference this year, the theme was Alive Together. Alive in the Holy Spirit and together in the body of Christ. 50 states represented, 38 countries, 7,000 people, with 7 keynote speakers, 70 breakout sessions. I actually counted them. Come on, Sisters of Grace studying Revelation. We know the divine meaning of 7 and 10, right? Also at the conference, a gigantic bookstore and exhibit hall. And the worship team was Keith and Kristen Getty with Matt Papa and Matt Boswell leading us all in worship. Incredible. We sang Holy, Holy, Holy a cappella with Keith, with 7,000 people trying to keep us all 4 verses. It was heavenly. The book of Ephesians was covered in this way. Chapter 1, chosen together, a new calling. The first half of chapter 2, rescued together, a new life. The next part of chapter 2, reconciled together, a new society. Chapter 3, enlightened together, a new ministry. First part of chapter 4, equipped together, a new purpose. And then the end of 4 and into 5, transformed together, a new walk. And chapter 6, empowered together, a new fight. So I know we've all read the book of Ephesians, so you can kind of place those names in where you know the scriptures. So I went with the expectation of gaining a greater knowledge and understanding of the letter to the Ephesians. In fact, the first morning before the conference even started, we had, Rifle and I, we had like, well, maybe that's exact. We had a stack of books to purchase, and then they gave us free books each day to all the participants, right? But God's plan was not for book knowledge. Instead, I received conviction, which wrenched my heart. A bit more than a dusting off, but a cracking of the crust that had grown without me even realizing. My heart was exposed and softened by the light of the Holy Spirit now penetrating in. There were several convictions throughout the 3 days, but here I only have time for sharing one or two or maybe three. So John Piper delivered the first keynote session on Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Let's turn to our Bibles there. I'm going to make some references. Chapter 1, 3 through 14. He said that this passage is one of the most weighty writings of God's purpose, containing glorious realities beyond description. Now, I can't begin to preach or teach about these scriptures, but I'm here to share my responses. All the keynotes, by the way, can be accessed online. Piper exegetically took us through the first chapter of Paul's letter, focusing on God's purpose in choosing his people according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glory. You'll see that in verses 5 and 6, to the praise of his glory. And in verse 12, to the praise of his glory. And also in verse 14. Piper explained that the purpose of his will, of God's will, could also be defined as his good pleasure. Wow. We are chosen on the basis of God's good pleasure, his delight, to the praise of his glory. Let's take a look at verses 13 and 14 in chapter 1. It reads, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." Piper explained, I gathered from my notes, that Paul is laboring to keep us from believing we have anything to do with this choosing. God gave us faith, not I, but by the grace of God. Not my free will, but his grace. He plans all things. He works all things. everything is done through Jesus Christ. We are chosen and redeemed so that our lives reflect his glory, praising his divine character and blessing. Piper then took a look at the prayer in verses 15 through 23, and this prayer, he said, is to enlighten the eyes of our hearts. So 15 through 23, I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to go to verse 17, which reads, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The word spirit pierced me. This is indeed different than book knowledge, right? Conviction number one. And then verse 18, that you may have the eyes of your hearts enlightened to bring what? To bring three things: hopefulness, richness, and power. Let's look at it. Having the eyes, here's verse 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may, one, know what is the hope to which he has called you, and two, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and three, in verse 19, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. Wow. The remainder of that prayer is supreme. I don't mean to leave it out. It's about the victory that we have in Christ, but that's going to be for another time. Finally, Piper asks the 7,000 of us, so what is praise? And he had done a little experiment and had consulted ChatGPT, and he said, probably into his phone rather than typing, or I don't know, he said, please compose a 30-second prayer to God in the spirit and theology of Don Carson in praise to the glory of God's grace. Don Carson was one of the founders with Tim Keller of Gospel Coalition. Click. 3 seconds later, this is what he was given, and I transposed it verbatim. Gracious Father, we bow before you, the sovereign Lord of history and redemption from eternity past. You purpose to lavish grace upon undeserving sinners through the blood of your beloved Son. We praise you for the glory of your mercy, unearned, unmeasured, made manifest in Christ crucified and risen. May our lives, redeemed and sanctified by your Spirit, be vessels of praise to the riches of your grace. To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow. I'm sitting there. That was beautiful. That was a beautiful prayer. And Piper says, that's a machine. Is that praise? And I'm still there in my seat in awe, I guess worshiping, as Piper answers his own question. Is that praise? No, he proclaims. This machine, these people honor God with their lips and bites, and their heart is far from him. Ouch. Conviction number two. The remainder of Piper's address, I also transcribed. This is his ending. He says, so let's clarify the purpose of the universe. Why were you made? For words? Computers do words, he said, better than you and better than me, better than Piper, who does words pretty well. He said, they don't feel anything. Therefore, the universe is created to have people who feel. This is amazing. The universe exists to have people created in God's image who feel the worth of grace, who feel the glory of grace, who feel the beauty of grace, and who feel the wonder of grace. And then everything in their life takes on a totally non-AI meaning of action and praise to God. Wow. Another conviction, because I must confess, I've used AI a time or two to assist me in introducing a song right here at Grace Harvest Church. Lip service. The Spirit is massaging the crust off my heart as I repent and feel alive. We sing then of God's grace, with the Gettys leading us, of God's grace and mercy, and the power of the Holy Spirit goes deeper as we sing and we digest this word. The Spirit enlightens my heart. I want more of Him. This intimacy, which is vulnerable and messy and nonlinear, without deserving or earning or paying back, without relying on self, but completely dependent on God. An addendum to this part came at 2 a.m. the day we returned, the night we returned. I was awakened with a voice like this. Surely God would want you to have knowledge of Him. Who does that sound like? Back to Genesis, right? And my spirit responded firmly, God is in me by the Holy Spirit of Christ Jesus. I pray for a filling of the Holy Spirit to come upon each of you so that we together would stand and walk and pray and love in the Spirit of God. There's a little bit more. So then, next keynote, Kenneth Mbugua, he's from Kenya, took us into chapter 2 of Ephesians, and he began by asking, what is your collection of boasting? He said that boasting is in all of us, inevitable, sometimes subtle, sometimes loud, but that it's the stuff of our very identities. He made us laugh when he gave us an example of his Starbucks speak. He was working up his own order in Starbucks speech to fit in while in line to order his drink at Starbucks. And hearing the person ahead of him used words fluently like trente and caramel macchiato and a dash of this and no whip, he felt in his soul a subtle boasting of his own Starbucks speak in order to belong. He asked us about the little things we might boast in, like Starbucks speak. How about your car, he said, or your shoes, or your hair, or how far can your kid throw a ball? And I hear in my soul my own boasting of my granddaughter when she was 8 months. She can clap and wave, and she's in the 99th percentile of her height. Sheesh, another conviction. Let's take a look at chapter 2 at the first 4 words. And you were dead. Mbugwe took us on a deep dive journey through verses 1 to 3 of seeing that before Christ, we were dead, fallen, completely bound in the state of sin, ruled by Satan. He said, the potential to sin to the utmost was in all of us, not partially bad, all bad, destined for wrath, like a divine death row. And then, verse 4, you could see it, but God intervenes. He made us alive together in Christ by grace, His mercy and great love, His grace and kindness toward us has saved us. And verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 8, let's read it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, but is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And then in verse 13, but now in Christ, you were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So we're a new creation. This is the teaching that we had just washing over us. And then Mbugua asked again, do you boast? He took us back there. It's kind of like little boast, but kind of big. Perhaps your zip code, your position, your abilities, your service in church. But we know the answer. We only boast in Christ. So time is running out, and Rifle is going to continue on this testimony, but I just want to close with Mark Vrogop's statement. Mark is the current president of TGC, and he's a pastor in Indianapolis, and he gave the keynote for the second part of chapter 2, reconciled together, one in Christ, the mystery of gospel unity. And he said, I quote, "We are to remember, know, trust, and live in our gospel identity, which undergirds any other identity. We are not only a new creation, but a new humanity. We are reconciled together as the body of Christ, and this union creates a new dwelling place for God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is the church. We are alive together." Amen. Your turn.
Got this. This is good. So yes, as Shippen and I prepared for this conference, we started at the beginning of May, of April actually, reading the book of Ephesians, one chapter a day, and we just kept repeating it until we got to the 22nd of the month when we flew out of El Paso. And as she said, you know, the excitement and the expectation. And this was my first time going to the Gospel Coalition. Shippen had attended some women conferences before. As a matter of fact, that's where she got me this hoodie. And what was so awesome was that we're in the airport and standing in line, you know, you're always standing in line in an airport. There was a family with a young man, teenager or what, and he said, "Oh, man, I like your shirt, you know." And I said, "Oh, great, yeah, me too." Well, I started boasting about it, so I didn't, you know. And then there was another couple that they said, "Oh, we like that, we like that." So one thing that I've learned, and it's memorization, which I struggle with a lot. And there's 9 words, and 3 of the words are repeated. So it's by faith alone, in Christ alone, no, by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. That's the gospel, folks. That's what another couple, I think we went to Austin, and the same thing is they just said amen. That older gentleman, you know, he knew exactly what we were talking about. So I always encourage that. And I knew that Keely was going to be reading the same scriptures that I started the prayer. So that helps us in repetition. It really does. And in our prayer books, or the many prayer books that I have, I read those quite often. And sometimes one prayer through the whole week. So what I would encourage you, we have some prayer cards, these brown ones, and it has the Ephesians 1, chapter 1, and Ephesians chapter 3 prayer. I'll ask you to pick one up. I couldn't find them, Teresa, so it will have some more out there. But these are very helpful. When I pray for you, in times, and Bobby taught me this. I really love this man because he told me that at times he would go over the directory, the Grace Harvest directory, and pray for each person on that directory. The visitors, we remember you. You know, some are here seasonal, and we pray for them. So I started doing that. So let me give you a little example. Because we were talking about Nufo and Dean earlier. I forgot their last name, Valdez, I think. So Ephesians 1:17 through 21. that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give Nupho and Dean the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of Nupho and Dean's heart enlightened, that Nupho and Dean may know what is the hope to which he has called Nupho and Dean. Now, I honestly, if I'm thinking about you when I'm praying, I'll insert your name into that, and that's just to all the glory to personalize it. Now, what I think it was Andrew Wilson that talked about in the language, the English language, the you. I'll change his wording. He was saying that it's all, but for us, we'll say y'all. Is that right, you Texans? Is that right, Vanita? Y'all. So you say y'all. So remember that whenever it's there's a you, that's every one of you guys. So that is so awesome to know that. And just like Shippen expressed her conviction in boasting, I too was convicted. And a lot of it is my self-pride. I have a lot of pride. And sometimes I exhibit it without even knowing it. And then I'm convicted later. The one most recent was, but I didn't take action on it, at the prayer breakfast, which it was an excellent event, fun event. A prayer breakfast. You know, we got to be there early. We were asked, the pastors of the town, to be there early. So I'm pulling in there. Well, up in the front, they have staff parking marked. And normally I would just say, well, I'm the mayor pro tem. I could park here. So when I went around the curve to get that end one, you know what? I parked at the next spot over and left that one up. And that was because, no, it's better to serve. When I was Parks and Recreation Director and when I first got on the council, I would always park at the farthest end of the parking lot so that there's enough parking for the employees in the parking lot, even if it meant I had to walk through the mud. But that was the thing that hit me the most, and especially when Mubagwa, Kenneth, he talked about the little boasting and the collection. He first mentioned a collage. He says, picture your collage of all the little boasting, and Shippen gave excellent. And then that's where I was thinking of, hey, was I boasting because I'm wearing this hoodie? In 2 Corinthians 10:17, if you're going to boast, boast of the Lord. Boast in the Lord. And that's where I felt comforted. Because somebody might have been standing behind me or next to those people and, hey, tell me about the Lord. That's the kind of boasting that we should do. So the first breakout session we attended was renew your prayer life, knowing and growing in the love and power of God. It was a panel of speakers, two pastors and two authors. There'll be a few quotes from Pastor George Robinson, who subbed for Danny Atkins. He couldn't be there. And from Trillia Newbell. She's a children's book author. So in the little book that they gave us of chapter 3, I noticed right there, or of Ephesians, chapter 3 in the English Standard Version, it's titled The Mystery of God of the Gospel Revealed. That's, you know, pretty much and what the chapter is all about. So George Robinson said, the mystery of the Ephesians lesson is we pray for each other. This mystery, verse 6 says, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I encourage you to pick up one of those prayer cards and have that. Read it daily, or at least once a week. So as I mentioned, I personalize those. And that's not the only prayer. Psalms 91 is about healing. When many times we had a list of healers, I'll go back and pray Psalms 91. And doing the same thing, wherever there's you, inserting the person's name and holding on that. And knowing God is faithful to complete a work. And he does answer prayer. Look, we've been praying for rain, and we got rain. And it's going to continue to come. Tralee Newbell said the verses 14 through 19 is one sentence. And two verses stood out for me. Verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father. The NIV version, the New International Version, says, kneel before the Father. The New Living Translation says, fall to my knees. That's many a times that I end up doing. I'm so broken, so down, that I have no strength and no hope, but I turn to Christ and fall on my knees and start praying. We pray to the Father for the Holy Spirit to make Christ's presence for spiritual power. And that's what's happening right now. We came for worship. We came to share the word. We ask the Spirit to be here to strengthen us, to encourage us, and lead us on the path of righteousness. So through that, verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Let his glory flow. Let his glory flow through you. So, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Then you being rooted and grounded in love. So we want to be rooted. And we get rooted by acknowledging Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And that we need him to save us. That we are sinners, we confess that. And who waters us? We do. Especially Bobby, he's the main gardener in this church. He gives us the nutrition in the feeding of giving the word and knowing that we are with him in Christ. Then this part I really like. Have made the strength to comprehend with all the saints, that's all you guys. Remember Bobby and John's identity in Christ series there? You all are saints. So, still kind of hard for me to call Fred St. Fred. But I will, St. Fred. I'll call you St. Fred because I love you. Strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Verse 19 goes on, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So in that panel speaking that Tralia Newsom shared, the Cartesian coordinate system, and as a visual for the breadth, length, height, and depth. Do we got that? She didn't have it up there, but she talked about it. So you have that horizontal line, right? And this is what I saw right after what she talked about. And then you see the vertical line. And that's what she explained. But what the Lord revealed to me, you see those negative numbers? They're going to the left. Negative numbers going down. Well, if you go back to this far corner and if you keep going there, that's where I was before Christ. I was introduced to Christ. And little by little, I got to the center. Because what I saw here is the cross. Jesus, he took our sins so that we don't have to go to the depths of hell carrying that burden. He took it all for us. He shed his blood so that we won't have it anymore. He takes, now don't get me wrong, I do get depressed. I do have doubt sometimes. I cry for my brother Brad. He's a young man. He's in his 70s, but he's a young man. He doesn't deserve to die. He served you, Lord. But that, again, is an example of before Christ, I was going way down the left line. And then what Christ has done, he died on the cross. He ascended to heaven. And that bottom line is erased if you believe in him. If you believe that Christ did that for you, that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. And that whoever believes in him will have life eternal. So that arrow to the north, it's perpetual. It's infinity. It keeps going. And God and Jesus are right up there. All those negative numbers, they're all gone. Because on the X axis, the horizon one, we are all together for Christ to encourage each other, to love each other, to give each other encouragement, to pray for each other, and to call each other. Let us rejoice in the Lord. So I'll close my portion with verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Rifle and Chippen. That was a great overview of the tiny tidbits that you got out of the conference. I believe we're going to have our bon voyage prayer over Bob and Janet. And we're going to have them come and just share some words. They've been with us kind of since a little bit after the whole COVID thing. They helped rebuild Grace Harvest Church and been vital members. And this is their last Sunday with us. So we just want to hear some words from them and then pray over them.
Thank you, Bobby. Well, I'm just going to pray from my heart for you all and thank you all. I feel like I've gone to church for 4 years with my best friends. I want to thank the worship team. It's been a joy and an honor to play and sing. And I can remember going to Teresa, I don't know how many years ago now, and I said, you know, I have played the flute before, and I played most of my life, but there was a 20-year gap before I started playing here. And she said, come on, just practice with us. And it's become, for me, a deep place in which I have been able to meet weekly, and we pray. When you hear this team play, it has been prayerfully prepared for everyone, including ourselves. And when we practice on Thursday nights, it's a prayer meeting. And it's been an honor and a beauty. Truly, this church lives out love one another. Nancy and I were at lunch last week. I think it was last week, wasn't it? And she said, what's been your biggest takeaway from being here? And most of you don't know, or maybe you do, I had just lost not only my sister to cancer before I moved up here, and it was one of the impetuses of coming up here, but she was not just my sister, she was my lifelong friend. She and I had so much in common, and it was a hard thing. And then after being here, I lost my mom and then my dad. So this church has definitely been a space and a community of healing for me. And it's been deep. Bob and I, as military family, with Bob's long career, have had a lot of hellos and goodbyes. It's become a way of life for us, but this is hard to say goodbye to you all. But we promise we will come back, and you all may come visit us, and going to be right outside Knoxville, Tennessee. I have developed a heart condition since being here, so I need to get off this elevation, and so that's been one of the things. But anyway, we love you so much and feel like we could have reached out to any one of you at any time, and we have felt that and hope that you could do that with us as well. So we love you.
Well, Rifle, I agree with you. I should have gone first. That was good. As Janet said, we've had a lot of practices at goodbye because we were in the military, but this is going to be the tough one. Frankly, I don't remember a lot of the faces over the years. Oh, some, but I'll remember most of you. Goodbyes have different forms, different kinds. I was thinking about what I was going to say. There's the casual goodbye when you're out and about running errands and you run into somebody you know and you chat up a little bit and then you say goodbye. And then there's the social goodbye where you get together for a planned meeting and have dinner together and play a game, chat up, and you say goodbye. The emotional goodbye, which this might qualify as, but what I was thinking of in that is a family situation. Recently, Rifle had his California daughter out here for a week. She left on Easter Sunday, and I can imagine that was quite an emotional goodbye. I also had the privilege of being with each of my parents when they took their last breath. That's an emotional time. One thing those three all have in common is that there's hope of seeing them again, even the one who passed away. Two weeks ago, we, I guess you could say, celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Wednesday before that, the community had a Holy Week service at Gateway Church. And on Wednesday, and I didn't make this up, folks, on Wednesday, I was in a pew with Janet, Presley Duke, Charlie Hamilton. John Duncan had just made his welcoming comments, and the singer was coming up to sing, and I was standing like I am now. And suddenly I had this image in my brain. I'm not going to call it a vision, because according to Joel and Acts, young men get visions and old men dream dreams. But this thing was as real as could be. I was in an outside, it was a pristine, beautiful day. And I was with a loved one. And we stood up, smiled at each other, hugged each other goodbye. But the difference in this goodbye was I was turning to go with Jesus, and my loved one had rejected Jesus. And I knew I would never see that loved one again. Now, if you'd have been there and seen what I saw, you'd have been cut to the quick. For that day, the next day, for 2 days and two nights, I just kept thinking about that. Tormented. And then on the third day, I believe God said to me, "Hey, bucko, you're still alive, and so is your loved one. It's not too late." So, folks, my encouragement and exhortation to you is keep fighting. This is a marathon we're on, not a dash. And the testimonies that these two people gave, I have never been in a church like this. So please keep fighting. Stay strong, because the enemy's going to try to tear you apart. Deanna told me that the other day. I was thinking about something. She goes, "The enemy knows your weak spots, and he's going to come after you. So stay strong." God bless you.
Thank you, Bob. Amen.
It's been a joy having Bob and Janet, and I think maybe we'll go ahead and pray over them and then take communion, but come on up. Y'all just lift a hand and we'll pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for Bob and Janet. Thank you for their servant's heart and coming in here, and just what a blessing they were to Grace Harvest Church, the years that they served here. Lord God, and just in our community, what a blessing to Ruidoso and Lincoln County they were. We thank you and praise you. We give you all the glory, Father, for their servant's heart, for the grace that you manifest in them, Lord, while they served and worked here, Lord. May the fruit that they built and sowed here continue and remain until that day that we all see you face to face. Lord, in Jesus' name, as they move and they go, Lord, just go with them. May your love never depart from them. May you surround them and wrap them in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you.
God bless you, Bobby.
And we're going to close the service out with taking the Lord's at the Lord's table, taking communion together. And so please come. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, come and take one of these cups. It has the bread and the fruit of the vine together. Return to your chair, and we'll pray over it and take it together and have a closing song together.